Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 28th day of May, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. And at the bottom of the hour, Peter Levitt will join us to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Along the way, we'll calculate corn yield losses in the state of Illinois. It all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Mark Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contracts in the wheat pit finished the July at 6:30 and a half, up 4 3/4 for the day. September at 6:56 3/4, up a nickel. And December futures at 6:78 3/4, 4 1/2 cents higher. In Kansas City, the futures finished the July contract. That's the harvest month for the hard red at $6.80 3/4 of a cent, up 5 3/4. July corn today, 4:28 3/4, settlement price 2 3/4 higher. September at $4.39, up 2 3/4. In December futures, 4:52 1/4, up 2 1/2 cents. March contract at 4:63 1/2, up 3 for the afternoon. And May corn, 4:70 3/4, up 2 3/4. July soybean futures, $11.79, a settlement price down 8. August at 11:40 1/2, down 7. September, 2 1/2 lower at $10.88. November beans, $10.53, up 3 cents. January futures, 10:55 1/4, up 2 3/4. And the March at 10:43, up 3. So in the soybeans, the old crop down, but the new crop was higher for the day. July bean meal futures down $2.40 at $3.83.80 on the settlement price. And the August bean meal at $3.64.70. down $3.70. July bean oil, on the other hand, unchanged at $37.81, as was the August contract at $37.98. Live cattle futures, June contract $81.50, down 87 1/2 cents. August at $81.85, $1.25 lower. August feeder cattle, 62 1/2 cents lower at $101.82 1/2, and September at $102, settled 52 1/2 cents lower on the afternoon. And the June lean hogs at $65.40, up 12 1/2 cents on the day. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Mark Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Futures in the nearby crude oil finished at $65.08 for the July contract, $1.63 higher. August at $65.87, up $1.71 for the day. June ethanol at $1.71 4/10, 1/10 higher. Natural gas lead option July at $3.94 4/10, up 30 6/10. And June RBOB gasoline at $1.90 5/10, that's $1.90 1/2. up a penny and 3 1/10 of a cent. June heating oil or diesel fuel, 3 9/10 of a cent higher at $1.60 1/10. Then the propane futures at 74 cents, a settlement price up 1 1/10 on the day. Gold futures, $961.50 an ounce, up $8.20. That's a settlement price as well. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 117 points higher at 84.16 at this hour. The U.S. dollar trading 80.43 is up 0.09, and the CRB index is at 249.81. It's up 3.35 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like tonight. In the north and central section, says our own meteorologist Ed Keezer, gradually clearing with patchy fog forming. In the south, mostly cloudy, some lingering showers during the evening, and then partly cloudy after midnight. Lows tonight will range, he says, from 50 in the north to 58 in the south. Tomorrow, in northwestern Illinois, mostly sunny skies, although a few isolated showers and thunderstorms are possible toward the evening hours. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs will range from 68 near Lake Michigan to 83 in the southwestern part of Illinois. The extended forecast says a cluster of showers and thunderstorms may form in Iowa on Friday afternoon and evening. They'll push into Illinois and parts of Indiana Friday night and into Saturday. More on the weather at the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media in Urbana-Champaign. On the line with us for Thursday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
It's a gray sky here and a little bit of rain. I suspect not many people are actually able to move today, and the market really didn't seem to care, did they?
Well, it cares. But the market has got a lot of stuff to digest in here. Beans have kind of been leading this rally, and of course our export sales were delayed a day because of Memorial Day weekend, and there is some pretty good sources out that indicate that China did cancel maybe upwards of 3 cargoes of old crop soybeans, most likely rolled them into new crop. That kind of explains why your old crop now did show some weakness here today, but new beans were a little higher. Corn, there's a lot of areas that's in pretty good shape on the corn. There's no doubt that we're real vulnerable now to probably losing some corn acres here in Illinois and Indiana, especially here in this eastern side of the state of Illinois and western Indiana, because we are extremely wet in here. I'm not too sure this Decatur, Champaign, Effingham corridor is maybe the wettest of the Corn Belt, at least at the moment.
It sure looks like. You really think that we'll lose acres here on? And how soon might that happen?
I think farmers, you're losing them now. The visuals now for someone, if you look at this weather forecast that added a little moisture, I mean, we're calling for some, or the weather guys are calling for increased precip for next week, and all of a sudden you're in the first week of June. So I do think the corn acres that aren't in right now, it doesn't look like the visuals are very good for them to get planted until maybe sometime after May or June 5th. So I think you're losing a few acres right in here, and we're picking up some soybean acres.
Well, I thought maybe that after we saw the crop progress report on Monday that you could look at those numbers for southern Illinois, southern Indiana, and say they were only a third of the way through in their planting season for corn, then it would be awfully easy for them to start switching acres. They probably didn't have the nitrogen on, maybe didn't have the chance to put a herbicide on. But central Illinois, eastern Illinois, seems like a much further stretch. You still need to convince me that that's the case.
Well, the market will convince you at some point in time.
I suppose it will.
I don't need to convince you. Just go short corn. It'll convince you. Sell 100. And I'll bet you it'll convince you. Nobody really knows for sure at this point. I do know that I've talked to Central Illinois farmers in some of the highest productive lands here in East Central Illinois, and they have switched to soybeans for a couple reasons. Number one, the market is actually telling them to plant some soybeans. We do have some $10 type cash bids out there for the new crop. It's also dependent upon how they run the numbers on their yield potentials. They feel that maybe some of their corn yields, they've lost 20 bushels per acre, so that kind of maybe makes beans a little more appetizing, especially since they don't have the fertilizer on. So there has been some switching. To what extent we won't know until June 30th, and then we may not know. But, you know, even though we're maybe losing acres here in the eastern Corn Belt, there's reason to believe we've picked up acres in the western Corn Belt. So, I mean, the market does have a lot to digest, at least right in here.
I want to come back to the beans in a moment, but if we could come to the corn again.
Uh-huh.
Have you started to back figure yield yet there at ADM and what yield loss in the state of Illinois might mean nationally?
Well, I don't know if we have as, you know, there's a lot of talk of having lost yield potential. I mean, you know, all of your university studies do at least keep that gate open. But, you know, you can kind of look back at last year, and some of this replanted corn that we had back in June did put in some pretty good yields. So I don't think anybody's really, you know, downgrading the yield prospects so much. Probably, I think, more so losing acres. But yes, you know, when you look at the balance sheets projections, if USDA's number was on the mark, and that's the big question, was the March number on the mark at 85? I think you have to kind of feel that we're probably going to see maybe a million acre loss on that. You start multiplying that out by some yield variables, and you can put together a pretty a tight balance sheet. The thing is that USDA's numbers on demand is more geared toward $4 corn than $5 corn. So if this market does decide that it has to go to $5 to slow down some of that demand, I think it'll ration it fairly easily. I don't think it'll be a long, prolonged rationing period, because I think a lot of this demand is fairly weak underneath this corn market.
So you would be a very willing seller if the market popped to, what, another 50 cents then?
Yeah, well, you have to, you know, evaluate your own situation, but yeah, it does look like this market's gearing up. I mean, we've been tracking sideways in here, other than that one dip down after the weather forecast kind of went dry there here a week ago Monday. We've kind of kept this corn market in this, you know, 420, 434 range, 15-cent narrow range here on July corn futures. And, I mean, if this is a measuring point or a measuring congestion area, it does, you know, open the gates up to, you know, move up into that 470, 490 area fairly easy. And I think that the market will probably decide that early next week, whether or not you'll look at Monday's plantings report. We'll look at Monday's weather forecast. And, I mean, we're going to start, the market will start chopping off some acres, and it'll decide whether or not it needs to go higher on that.
I guess the important note for producers is that while they're looking out the back door here, and even in Iowa and Minnesota and Nebraska where they're done, they're looking at Illinois and at Indiana and saying, boy, they've got a lot of corn to put in the ground, that you're suggesting the demand and is just not there. And even if rationing comes, demand will quickly dissipate, right?
Well, I think you could, a lot of it depends upon how hard and fast it goes. But yes, USDA's balance sheet has room for some slippage if you get these prices, you know, a lot stronger than what we're at. Like I said, the USDA's balance sheet was kind of geared at this $4, four and a quarter type price range. You start adding a dollar to that, and you're going to lose demand. You're going to lose some export demand. You're going to lose some, I think, probably domestic feed demand fairly quickly. I don't think the livestock industry can withstand another round of high-priced corn and cheap meat prices. I think they'll fall back fairly quickly.
If we lose that, will we ever get it back, or how soon?
Oh, I think you'll get it back, but that takes a little longer term to get that back. I think if, you know, especially the, you know, it'll come back, but a lot of that will depend also probably on the economy. But, you know, a lot of, you know, there's not much expansion in that or any at all, because nobody wants to expand into a economy that is somewhat vulnerable to additional weaknesses.
Are you comfortable then? Is this the reason that you're comfortable with a 1.1 billion bushel carryout, which is awfully small, and a $4.10 mid-range from USDA?
Well, I don't know if anybody's comfortable with 1.1 billion carryout. That's awful tight.
That is tight.
And you can look out the door, and I know I think the rain is just basically here in East Central Illinois, but that's very tight. I mean your exporters and your processors are definitely looking at a much smaller crop to merchandise than what they were thinking of here 2-3 months ago, and that's going to it's definitely a worry from an industry wide point of view.
So come back now to the soybean for me, and I guess if you look at the chart, the lead option chart on the daily, it has been a fairly impressive run from what down near 850 or 840 thereabouts to where we are today, up close to $12, and it hasn't really taken that long. Is there any more left in this marketplace?
Unless there's some soybeans show up pretty quick, there's reason to believe that we haven't really cut back enough yet on old crop demand. When you take a look at the distance that we have to go here, I mean, there's not going to be very many new beans available. I'm sure there's some April beans did get planted. I do know some farmers that got some April beans planted. But, you know, the bulk of your beans now, you're not going to see a whole bunch of any kind of measurable inventories until you get into mid-October. And so, I mean, it does look like August, September is going to be awful skinny to find old crop inventories. Now, the futures don't necessarily need to do the work. I mean, you're going to probably see a lot of that happen in the basis levels. Probably here in a couple weeks you'll see a lot of your bids maybe go off of the November futures rather than July futures. But probably once you get into July deliveries, then everything will be based off in November, and the basis levels will do all the work as far as any rationing if it needs to. But old crop soybean inventories are very hard to find. You do have, I think, processors that are now beginning to talk down, you know, shut down, slow down for maintenance and repair, maybe a little longer than they normally would in the summer months.
Where do you see old crop heading to at this point?
Well,
how high? There's a gap back
there. We're terribly overbought here. We've had three drives to the top. The market is vulnerable to a correction. I look at my cyclical timing counts. We're right in an early part of that window here to be awful careful in here over the next week or two. But the market is still looking. I mean, most of your chart people probably still have this 1240, 1280 level as upside targets, depending upon how you want to calculate them. But they're still looking at those numbers maybe for this July contract, and maybe if we would go into a blow-off type state on July contract.
Yeah, and November to follow?
November beans would not be quite as powerful, I guess looking at the way I'm reading the chart, you got about 1075 as an upside objective, which is really within striking distance now, being in the 1050s. There's a chart gap up there that was left back right after Labor Day weekend on the November bean chart up there around 1168, 1177. So those are going to be the two target points I think a lot of chart people are going to be looking at. Depending upon what the weather forecast is next week, I think.
I don't have the Minneapolis Grain Exchange up. What did spring wheat do to today? Do you know?
Well, let me take a look here.
I'm just wondering whether
yeah,
we need to watch that as a rally.
Well, Minneapolis. I don't have Minneapolis on. Yeah, I do. Yeah, here it is. It's July. It was down 12 cents.
It was down 12, so it didn't. Mm-hmm. It didn't continue its rally. Anything in wheat that we need to discuss for the day?
Well, wheat. I think the wet weather is beginning to worry some people on yield potential as well as quality problems. And overall, wheat supplies do look like they could be shrinking a little bit.
Okay, thanks much.
Very well, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week. Our guest this week, by the way, will be Darrell Good, Extension Ag Economist. We'll hear from him in just a moment about how the U of I believes the corn crop in the state has been substantially hurt by this late planting season and what they're doing by basing it on some of their research. But first, I want to tell you that you should visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program and Commodity Week. You can listen to them anytime you'd like, or if you'd like, you can have them downloaded to your computer automatically as a podcast. It's all at willag.org. While you're there, don't forget to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. If you don't like it, it's just as easy to unsubscribe at the same place on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org. In a moment, we'll hear more from Darrell Good. The Agricultural Economics Team at Illinois has been slogging through mountains of historical data from the USDA. Led by Darrell Good, they're hoping to get a good handle on how statewide average corn yields are explained by trend yield, planting date, and weather variables. Good says the data shows planting date, especially late planting date, has a significant impact on final yield in Illinois.
Our definition of late planting has changed somewhat. We've looked at the period 1960 through 2008 as our database. Kind of in the first half of that period, we defined late planting of corn being any corn planted after May 30th. For the last 20 years or so, we define late planting as corn planted after May 20.
So the work presented here defines late planted corn as anything put into the ground after May 20. The definition means farmers in the state of Illinois are working with a late planted crop of historic proportions, 60% or more of the corn crop.
Now, on face value, if you just look at the model, it says in its current iteration, as we've estimated it, each percent of the state crop planted after May 20 has a yield effect of about 3/10 of a bushel. So if we're 60% late this year, that says everything else equal, we've reduced the state average yield by 18 bushels from what we would have if everything had been normal this year.
Given that, Darrell Good says it's too early to give a definitive answer as to the yield question. He likes to put it this way. Farmers in Illinois and the rest of the Eastern Corn Belt are starting out with a much lower potential corn yield than under normal growing conditions. As for the critics of the model, and there will be many, that say it does not account for the genetic differences in corn hybrids and the GMO effect, Darrell Good says it's hard to tease out, but not impossible.
The only way we try to tease that out is this. We say once you have a weather model, then you can go back historically and say what if weather was average every year, what would the yield have, what would you have expected the yield to be? And you can calculate the trend yield based on average weather versus the actual trend yield that we saw during that period. And basically what we see is very little difference, which says that we really have not yet seen any yield kick on average above the normal trend increase in corn.
What people fail to remember, says Darrell Good, is that on average, corn yields have increased about 2 bushels per year for the last 50 years. The question then is, has the new technology accelerated or simply maintained that increase? The data suggests a small shift might be in the works, but that it is statistically not identifiable as a point of change, at least yet. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
It's National Grape Popsicle Day. The invention of the popsicle goes to Frank Epperson, who in 1905 mixed some soda water powder and water together and left the mixture on the back porch overnight with the stirring stick still in it. That night, the temperature dropped to a record low that froze the mixture solid. 18 years later, in 1923, the Epsicle hit the market in 7 fruit flavors. The name was later changed to the Popsicle. In the first 4 years, Epperson sold more than 60 million ice pops. On this day in agricultural history in 1907, Rachel Louise Carson was born. An American biologist, Carson wrote Silent Spring. The book was concerned with the dangers of environmental pollution, especially DDT. In 1930, Richard G. Drew of St. Paul, Minnesota, patented transparent cellophane adhesive tape. He worked out a deal with 3M to market the tape under the trademark Scotch. In 1933, the first automatic soda fountain dispenser was introduced by Coca-Cola. And in 1941, the U.S. Federal Register published the definition of enriched flour, giving specifications for required amounts it must contain of vitamin B, niacin, and iron. By the way, the effective date of riboflavin as a required ingredient of enriched flour is postponed until April 20th of 1943 because the available supply was inadequate. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Pete Labatt's on the line to take up the agricultural weather forecast for you. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Yes, good afternoon, Todd.
It is gray and a little wet here, and farmers in East Central Illinois and Indiana sure would like to get back in the field. Is that going to happen?
I think so. It's going to clear out tonight, by the way. The cloudiness covers eastern Iowa, Illinois, and much of Indiana, with cool air moving down from on northwesterly winds. The real rain for this little episode has ended. It just passed through Indiana, and now we're going to see just a few sprinkles and drier weather tonight. Tomorrow, fair to partly cloudy, and that's going to carry through Saturday and Sunday as well, with just a chance of some light showers here and there, but nothing like the types of showers we've been seeing over the past several weeks. That's very light stuff, and I think some drying will occur, and only in the heaviest soils where the moisture is really stuck in there, I think farmers will be able to get back in the fields again and move ahead with the very late planting season.
Could you concentrate for a bit for me on southern Illinois and southern Indiana? They're as far behind as anybody in the nation.
Yeah, and of course that's another region where you have the heavier soils. That is the region, and that's the region that's had the most rain. And it looks as though they're going to. I guess you're going to have to say they're going to see some sprinkles tomorrow and Saturday, but nothing like what we've had. And then on Sunday, we start to see showers coming back into the northwestern Illinois, but they'll get by on Sunday in the southern third of the state anyway. And then on Monday and Tuesday, I'm afraid we've got to bring rain back in. So it's going to be hard going, and of course, just about the time it gets almost ready to turn a wheel, the rain comes again. But that looks like the pattern, and not as wet weather, but not dry either.
Turning the wheel and avoiding the wet spots in the fields if they can, and probably getting stuck on occasion.
So
if you look out 10 days, are we drying out anywhere in that period?
It looks like next week will be a little drier than this week, and temperatures will probably finally get a little bit warmer. One thing I didn't mention last week, I guess I should have, was the extended forecast was produced, of course, then, and the outlook for the season is indeterminate. Isn't that dandy to have? So The only areas they're making a forecast is in the far west, where they have some dry weather in the northwest and wet weather in the far southwest and up through the Four Corners area. This is June, July, and August. So we're not getting a forecast for June, July, and August, essentially. They're saying they don't know what's going to happen in any which way. And the best thing you can say, and I think a good thing to say, is that's an honest forecast.
Pete, thanks much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Hey, Pete Levitt is an agricultural meteorologist. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media each and every Thursday afternoon. You have a great weekend, or a great day, I'm sorry. I'm Todd Gleason, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Please visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.